when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Anything better than Bill Withers? And a John DeCoste singing that song, that's it.
It's good stuff.
Speaking of music, later on, Anatomy of a Song, the Oral History of 45 Iconic Hits That Changed Rock, R&B, and Pop. It's a new book that's out, good Christmas gift. And with some of the best endorsements you'd ever see, people like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and Joni Mitchell and Linda Ronstadt. All talking about the author, Mark Myers. We'll play all... let me check with Jake on this. Jake, can we play all 45 songs in the 9 o'clock hour?
You carry the 2 minus 3. Yes. Yes, we can.
Because when I was a disc jockey, the constant complaint that I had to deal with from program directors was I didn't play enough music. Hey, shut up and play the hits.
Quit talking.
And I'd play, you know, I'd take a job and I'd agree to play 8 records, and then within a week I'd play 2.
But you can still hit the post.
Oh, I love music. I mean, you know, yeah. And I love being a disc jockey back in those days. But at some point, you got to give it up. Is there anything creepier than like a guy that's like, oh, I don't know, 60, who's still doing hit radio?
Yeah, man.
Talking to 14-year-olds, please. 6:12 in the morning, and here's what's coming up today. Loose first call in just a few minutes. I always encourage you to get your questions in early, because invariably, what happens is, around 6:45 or so, 20 minutes after Lou's been off the air, someone will text in, hey, I got a stucco roof. Oh, get your questions in now. 312-981-7200. First caller always wins, and yeah, you can get in line early for that. Dan Hampton later on your Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur's here for Dave Bennett today. And who are the Bears playing?
They have the Detroit Lions in Detroit. First place team.
This could hurt our playoff run.
I think the playoff run might start in a couple of years.
Do you know?
It's a building year.
and I emphasize the word might.
Yes, I'm sure that might would be the key word. The game and choir's coming in. We do this every Christmas, really every holiday season. These guys are so good. They should be in here every week.
Oh, my God. They're phenomenal.
They are phenomenal. Joey Meyer. Joey Meyer, who... Have you done a game with Joey?
I'm going to be doing one coming up in a couple weeks.
Good.
Yeah.
Joey Meyer is part of the State Farm Chicago Legends that are honoring Ray Meyer and Mark Aguirre. And Coach Joey will be on a little bit later on as well. We got Leno tickets to give away. And yesterday, I'll tell you what, anybody ought to ever run like this. Live to be 95. Be one of the original American astronauts. An American hero. A success at business. In the United States Senate for 24 years, and lived to be 95.
What a full life.
Oh, and by the way, go back into space when you're 77.
Yeah. What a full life.
Incredible.
What a great American hero.
John Glenn died yesterday, and who better to remember John Glenn than my favorite space geek, Spike Odell.
Yeah, excellent.
And we'll talk to John Glenn about this. Talk to John Glenn. We'll talk to Spike about John Glenn. If we could talk to John Glenn this morning, that would be news. Mm-hmm.
Remember, Spike would leave and go home, and this is going to sound bad, but play with it. He'd be on a simulator. He would play with the simulator. Steve.
Someone call Nick.
All right.
Spike
I
playing with the
simulator. I prefaced it, though. Remember?
6:14.
He loved his space simulator.
Yeah.
So he's a total
loved everything about
space geek. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'd go into space. That's crazy.
Oh, tomorrow. I'd do it tomorrow. I wouldn't jump out of an airplane, but I'd ride a rocket into space tomorrow.
That's really interesting.
That's really weird.
I would not.
Well, but the idea is the greatest scientists, right, put together the greatest rockets that send the greatest, American heroes into space. And if there was a way to fly into space tomorrow, I'd absolutely do it.
As long as you're enclosed. You just don't want to be out in the open.
No, well, the idea is the plane's working. Why would you jump out of it?
Don't abandon it.
That's true.
Don't abandon it.
It's going to land. What's the hurry?
You hope. One would hope.
So that's all coming up. So if you are interested in asking Lou a question, get on the phone. 312-981-7200 is the number. We'll get Grzanich involved with that later as well, because I have a feeling Grzanich plays with his simulator.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
6:21, Mike standing by to be Lou's First Call. Get to him in just a second. The forecast calls for about 10 inches of snow over the course of a couple of days, with two storms coming through, one Saturday night, one Sunday night, and a Monday morning. If that changes, we can discuss, but that's what we have now, right? Want to adjust that at all, or is that accurate?
It is exactly right. The heaviest snowfall Saturday and then Sunday into Monday. So Monday morning's commute could be a little dicey.
You know, you watch the Weather Channel and people are sent out to stand in the street waiting for it to snow.
You know, you always say that.
I do, standing in the street. But Sandberg right now is standing in Michigan Avenue waiting for it to snow. Sandberg?
It's not snowing yet.
All right, there you go. That's a full report from Michigan Avenue.
No, it's for the purpose of the live shot, for the TV live shot. You want to be where the people are, where the snow is.
It's a giant pile of steaming BS is what you're telling me?
No.
I'm standing in front of a giant salt pile.
Let me go back to Sandberg in front of the giant salt pile. Is there salt for the city?
There is salt, but it's not snowing yet.
All right, good. These are live reports that we're getting from around the city.
We would love you. Nice, concise, quick reports.
We've moved Sandberg now to Lake Forest. Is it snowing in Lake Forest?
It is not snowing yet.
All right. She's all over the city. We'll keep you up to date.
She's going to put a lot of people out of a job.
And by the way, she's one of the few women who have chosen not to wear a big furry hat.
Oh, I would not. Steve, you read my mind.
This is your report, your big furry hat report?
Yes. I will not be wearing a furry nor a floppy hat. I would probably wear an ear band if I was that cold.
Okay, can I just say, wait. I'm going to have to defend all the reporters because I was standing out in it last Sunday. You don't want
standing
the
out in the weather?
In the snow. It was
okay,
terrible.
Standing out in it needed clarification.
Oh, sorry. Standing out in the torrential snow that we had on Sunday all day long, by the way. So you need good boots, you need layers, and you need a hat mainly to just keep the snow out of your face when you're doing
this. There's a guy from Channel
eyes.
7 to wear the cowboy hat. It was wore like
oh.
a.
You know, Dane from Fox, Dane Placco wears a big cowboy hat.
Not Placco. It's somebody at Channel 7. Frank. Frank?
Oh, Frank Matthey?
Frank Matthey.
Oh, yeah, Frank Matthey. Yeah.
Yeah. But the women are famous for their big furry hats.
Well, yeah, because you want to stay warm.
I don't have any furry hats. So.
You know what you're getting for Christmas.
The key is warmth.
But I have a bigger problem. We pay our plow person per push. And so I'm not liking this.
We pay our plow person per push.
Push? They call it a...
What do you mean per push?
Some people have contracts where they pay like $900 for the year and you just get as many plows as you want. We pay per push.
So every time he comes out?
Yes, if there's more than 2 inches.
And how much does he charge you per push?
$50. And they also do the sidewalk.
I don't think that's bad.
So it's per trip.
You thought it was per swipe of the driveway.
I did too. When you said per push, I thought, do you guys sit out there and count?
Oh, like, no, they call it a push. Like the whole thing.
So you're wondering if the same people that sold you the pumpkins is selling you the plowing?
So am I going to be like out $300? Because what's the worst is when they dump snow and then stops and then dumps more snow. And
what is a roll of the dice?
It's a roll. Two pushes on Saturday. You know, I don't.
It's
really
a roll of the dice on whether or not you're going to have a lot of bad storms this winter or you're going to have two.
Right.
Because the people that pay the $900 for the whole year, they're paying $450 per push.
Right, but like last year, those people, including David Kaplan, they kind of got a bad deal because it didn't snow enough.
I would say if Cap does it one way, do it the other.
Yes,
that would be my thing.
I would agree. And don't make fun of the reporters anymore. We're just doing our job.
I'm not making fun of the reporters. It's really important that people are standing out in the street waiting for it to snow. Lou Manfredini joins us now. Hi, buddy.
You missed out one part of the story, though. When they come to Mary's house, Pat Boyle stands in the window and goes, push it.
Does he? That's like a salt and pepper thing?
Right. They do the whole routine.
I saw Lou and
Pat wears the furry hat.
I saw Lou and his lovely wife last Friday night. Lou and his lovely wife and I spent the evening at the Ritz. We had a lovely dinner.
It was lovely.
It sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Well, there were 100 other people there. but it was a fine time had by all the Chevy DriveChicago.com folks had their Christmas party.
Beautiful.
Great event. Such a nice group of people.
Yeah. And John Alferovich. He's got too many syllables in his name. And his beautiful wife who put together the whole thing. I mean, it was a good time. And Mike Hillstrom and Mike's daughter is tremendous. The whole group's great. We love those guys.
It was really fun.
And by the way, I love telling people, hey, do you know that's Lou Manfredini? Have you got anything going on at your house? Because Lou loves questions. Why don't you go over there, say hi, and ask him about your flapper in your toilet?
I'm sure people do that a lot.
First caller is Mike, and again, we thank the fine people who are sponsoring this segment. You know who that is, Lou?
I do. It's American Weathermakers, home of the 60 Minute Men, and they will come out and clean your furnace and make sure it's working great, and they'll install one, and you can reach them at 855-955-HVAC.
And we'll have whiny staff questions in just a second, so if any of you have issues, now's the time to ask Lou. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're a winner of an April Airfare Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust that temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by those 60-Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. And we don't know which of the 60-Minute Men come out, though, right? We don't know if it's going to be Anderson Cooper. It could be any of the correspondents at all. It's not going to be Mike Wallace or Morley Safer. We
D'Artagnan.
Know that.
D'Artagnan.
Leslie Stahl.
Could be Leslie Stahl. What's your question, Mike?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're fine, Mike. How are you?
I'm, you know, I can't complain, but I still do.
Okay, all right, man. Where are you headed?
Hey, actually, I am headed to Skokie right now to a job site, but I have a question about my home.
Yeah,
I have a home that was built in 1912 with an expansion that was put on in the 60s, and in that expansion with the crawl space, I have like a one-inch crack that's coming down from what I can see just below the siding into the basement below the pea gravel that's in there. I just noticed it, and I put, like, a sealed foam up in the top so, like, mice wouldn't get in. But do I need to – is that something that's pressing I need to get right away, and how do I fix it?
Well, if that crack goes all the way through, in other words, if you can do a little investigation on the outside that you dig away a little of the soil and you see the crack going down on the outside, you know, now we're talking about a structural issue that could become worse. You know, I'd pay attention to the actual structure above, again, from the outside. And if you start to see things like windows not working properly or some separation in the siding or brickwork, whatever the home may be made out of, you know, it's the type of thing that, you know, like a PermaSeal comes out and can do some shoring up to make sure that it doesn't move. Now, in a crawl, I would also pay attention if there's a lot of rain, if you're getting water through that crack, because that's something that you probably have to address as well, because you don't want to have a buildup of a lot of moisture inside the crawl, which can lead to mildew and mold issues.
Now, in there, in a crawl space, my pea gravel in there, it's like piled up in one spot. Does it matter? Does it need to be level?
Well, I mean, does it need to be? No. I mean, the whole idea is that with a traditional crawl, when it was built, there should be a vapor barrier under that gravel, which the gravel serves two purposes, just to kind of clean the thing up so it looks a little nicer than just a pile of dirt, and also for drainage, and that over a vapor barrier helps keep moisture from coming up in there. But yeah, if it's a little bit piled up in a corner, if you're not going down there, it's not, you know.
Would it hurt if I put a piece of plastic over the pea gravel?
No, it wouldn't. It needs to be consistent, though. All, you know, you need to level it all off, and it has to be consistent all across the entire crawl to keep the moisture down.
You know how you go into your computer settings and there's advanced settings? Don't you feel like Mike and Lou are in the advanced settings area now?
It's when we
think you never
IT.
Click on.
Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable.
I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I really
don't.
Like
no, no, you do, Mike. You do. As a matter of fact, Lou has a job for you at Ace Hardware.
Right.
Hold the line, Mike, if you would, so we can give you those prizes. All right. By the way, the 148-year-old house that he has, is it true they don't build them like that anymore?
It is true. I would argue that we build them better.
Is that right? Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because the use of some of the engineered products that are now out there and have been for many, many years, in many respects, are better when installed and put together correctly.
Andre is very anxious. Do you have a whiny staff question?
I do.
Okay, hold it for a second.
It's a quickie, though.
But hold it for a second. Okay. Let's run through these for a sec first. Yeah,
those are good. They are.
I know, but you're very excited about your whiny staff question. Lou, do you know of anybody who will come out and repair a snowblower? Do you have to pick it up and bring it somewhere because it's too big and I don't know how to get it to a repair shop? And can you come over and fix it?
I cannot. There are some drop-off and pick-up services. I don't know where this person lives, but there's one company in particular called Russo Power Equipment. And they do offer, I mean, you end up paying a lot to have that happen, but they will pick it up and service it. The one thing I will tell people is most of these companies that are out there now are swamped. And now everybody's running out there to try and get the snowblower started because of the impending snow. There's a couple products that they can try on their own without taking it out to see if you can get it started. It's a product called Start Your Engines and another product called Seafoam. And you fill it up with fresh gas. You pour this into the tank. You let it sit there. It's like drain opener for your fuel system. 90% of the time it works.
Wow, how about that?
$10.
708 area code on that particular texter, by the way, for what that's worth.
Okay.
And let's go to this text. Lou, looking for the best options for maintenance-free siding.
No such thing as maintenance-free, but low maintenance. You've got a bunch of choices. Vinyl, cementitious, which is like hardy board, and there's also a composite system called SmartSide from LP, Louisiana Pacific, which is very nice. Both those cementitious and the SmartSide product look like traditional cedar. It has to be painted, but when you put a factory finish on, you get a 15-year warranty.
Our friend Margaret writes, what's the best carpet cleaning solution to clean the carpets in the old single wide that's in need of cleaning before the bear has Yogi, Boo Boo, and Smokey come over for Christmas?
Well, you know, renting a steam cleaner or, you know, a carpet machine using hot water is A, number one, the first step. Many rug doctor vendors are in the Chicagoland area, and their solution that they sell is really good. And the whole idea is that it's that they use a brush on their machine that goes back and forth, and so it actually scrubs the fibers, and it does a terrific job.
Lou, a two-story Cambridge home built in 1994 can hold a full-size treadmill on the second floor, or is it going to fall down through the floor and kill my family?
It won't fall through the floor. It'll hold it, but you'll probably get, depending on where you locate it.
Be a little loud.
It'll be loud, and you'll get some vibration. So if you're going to put it in a bedroom, have it be towards the outside wall because that's where the joists typically, you know, are bearing on the load-bearing wall and will be the most firm to hold the treadmill.
I wasn't listening entirely there. Did you say joists should not use the treadmill?
Joists should. Everyone should. Oh. It's good to get at least 30 minutes of exercise.
I have mine on my front porch, my old. So I have that same problem. I feel like I'm going to fall through the floor.
On the front porch? Where are you going to fall through the front porch? Just below the porch?
Yes, just below. It's on the porch, but the porch is crooked, so it's a little difficult.
You got
difficult.
A crooked porch and a treadmill on it.
So what, are you running like you're in Pisa? Is that what you're doing?
You have to do the incline, right? Yeah, it's hilarious.
That must be great for the
neighbors.
It's
a very old house.
It must be great for the neighbors. She's either napping in the driveway in her car, or she's running in a treadmill outside.
I'm like, hello. I just wave at the mailman.
Jed, Ellie Mae, Granny coming over.
It's just Mary. Don't worry.
It's too cold outside.
815, Lou, when it gets below 32, the garage won't close. We have to do it manually. Will you come over and close our garage?
You know, it's probably a detached garage, and what happens is the slab starts to move a little bit. There are on the opener, there is a strength setting on electric openers, and you'll see that there's a screw that allows you to do a downward pressure increase and an upward pressure increase. And if you go with the screwdriver and a little ladder and a flashlight, you just increase the downward pressure just a tiny bit. As long as you have eye sensors on the opener and they're working properly, you can do that and it should work.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your weekend. You're on the radio tomorrow.
I am. From 7 to 10 in the morning. I'm looking forward to it.
Stop yelling. And you're on TV next.
Love you, people.
Love you back. Oh, whiny staff questions. I forgot. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah, quickly.
All right, Lou, my baseboard and my door frame on my bedroom door are coming apart.
What are you doing in there?
Well, I'll tell you
treadmill.
Later. You don't know. Come on. No, can I just nail that back, or do I have to replace the baseboard and then the door frame entirely?
No, I mean, if it's just separating a little bit, it could just be a little movement from the change in the weather. Honestly, okay. That could be a problem. And if you just take a little block of wood and kind of lightly tap it all back and then maybe add a few new finish nails on there to hold it, just slightly longer than what you may have now.
Okay.
And go into the jam of the door and the base, make sure you get through the drywall on the baseboard, it should hold it no problem.
Andy Mazur perfect. Wants to duct tape something. Would you recommend him duct taping?
Sure. Yeah. Andy's very good at duct taping.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually all good. I just want to come work for you now because I actually installed a smart thermostat in my own home without burning it down.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah.
It doesn't work, but he did put it up on the wall.
It even works. How about that?
It even works.
Dave Ennett is standing by at home on an ISDN line. Wanted to add this.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Go back to sleep.
All right, good call by you. Thank you. That's Lou Manfredini, and we're next with the big story on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Sandberg eating a donut is now a viral video.
Wait, you eat a donut with a knife?
Yeah, every time I'd walk by, I'd cut off a little portion and put it in my mouth. And Pat thinks it's so odd.
What a weirdo.
You eat pizza with a fork.
I do it with wings.
You use silverware.
Wait, hold on a second. You eat chicken wings with a fork?
What the hell is wrong with you people?
I'm sorry. Because...
If seriously, we need to check you out. How? We need to have some full medical workup of you. I've never known anyone who ate chicken wings with a fork.
They're messy.
Do you do this in public?
Answer my question!
I have, I think.
The question, jerk!
I'm not embarrassed. I'm saying it on the radio and television.
Dave, I can't have you eating chicken wings with a fork. This has to stop.
And I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Ah, the weird, twisted, perverted genius of Jake. It's 6:43. As we continue, I brought this up the other day. And listen, speaking of disappointment, I want to sit you listeners down for a second, especially if you're standing in your cars. Just sit down. I want to have a talk with all of you for a second here. I'm a little disappointed. I brought up the other day on the show, because I feel like we deliver, you know, something here every day between 6 and 10. And the ratings have been tremendous. The support for the show has been tremendous. But the other day, I brought up something I needed. I just needed that. Do I ask for much? Do I ask for much on this show? Do I say to you, the listeners, do I say, could I get some help with this? Do I say that very often?
No.
No.
Never.
No. Mm. No. Mm. But I asked for help, and I didn't get a lot of help in return.
What did you ask for?
I mean, I don't expect for help from you guys, because you guys don't help me much at all in general.
And that's just mean. We always have
help from the listeners is about you guys. I said, I don't have a lot of time or energy to go out and buy Christmas presents for you guys this year where I'm going to, you know, get creative with it and do the right thing. So I'm looking for ideas from the listeners. Now, here's what I'll promise. Whoever gives me the best idea, I'll actually buy that gift for that individual.
You mean?
I hope you give me ideas for everybody. I hope you make my life easy here and help me figure out what to get you, knuckleheads.
But the best idea in your judgment?
Yeah, my judgment.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
which,
boy.
By the way, my judgment that's will trouble. Include convenience, not price. I'll spend whatever I need to spend. But convenience and deliverability and appropriateness of the gift.
How about creativity?
Yeah, sure. Of course, creativity.
Okay.
That's last.
No,
it's in there. It's in there. We'll fold that in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about each person on the show for those of you who are maybe new listeners. And then what I'm looking for, text messages at 312-981-7200. Here's what you ought to get, Steve. And these could be great, you know, heartwarming, sentimental, significant ideas, or they could be, you know, complete smart-ass responses. I'm open to either. The number is 312-981-7200. Now, include Andy Mazur on this today because he's here for
today. Because I'm here,
yeah. Otherwise, he wouldn't be getting squat.
It's okay.
So is it going to be Andy instead of Dave or Andy in addition to Dave?
No, I got to get some for Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just curious. Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't we start
with Dave? Dave is a sports legend. He is iconic in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He is the voice of Northwestern sports.
Go Cats.
He is a complete knucklehead when it comes to sports. He comes in here every morning. He works his tail off all morning long. He buries his face in his computer the entire time. He almost never looks up. And drives me crazy because I'll ask him to do something, and he looks up like a deer in headlights like it's the first time he's ever heard it. So I've thought about possibly, you know, those paddles when they shock someone back to life. I thought about just having those paddles hooked up where they could shoot out, like, you know, the cartoon punch thing that would come out of a spring?
Boxing glove?
Like the paddles would come up and hit him right before he has to do a live commercial or right before I'm trying to get his attention.
So you want
to
get him defibrillators, basically.
Defibs, that's it. Yeah. That's where I couldn't think of the word. Okay. Defibrillators. But that's not a great idea necessarily.
Now, unless they're like purple with a Northwestern logo on them, maybe.
Now, Dave is also a weekend drunk and a dog lover. So if
and a kale lover.
And a critter killer.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, kale lover and a critter killer. So if any of those light you up, I'd like to know, what can I get Dave Ennett? Okay, that's one.
He's an easy person to buy for. I found a giant flask.
By the way, none of you are easy to buy for. None of you.
And it's pretty simple.
Mary Vandeveld. Mary does an amazing job. She makes traffic entertaining, and it always pisses everybody off. She does a wonderful job multiple times every hour. She's a great mom. She could be a first-time grandmother. I love Mary. She's also nuts. She sleeps in her car in her driveway. We're not kidding. By the way, I got your pillows.
You do?
Yeah, they're on my they're on the chair of my office.
Oh, I love you. That's my Christmas present. Thank you.
Yeah. No, actually, that's not. I'm going to need more help on this. I found out this morning that she actually exercises on a treadmill on her porch instead of in the side of the house. She's not the most positive person in the world, and she does worry about things a lot. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything on Mary? I think that fairly
she works out a lot.
Yeah, no, we covered that. Mostly on the porch.
Love to sew. Yeah. Love to dance.
Yeah, on the dancing. Right. The dancing. Yeah. Dancing's wonderful. Loves dancing and loves live performance.
What?
What, spoken word? Poetry readings?
Mike Jacobson, producer of the program, one of the best technical guys I've ever seen. Great producer's mind. Big sports nut. Has a socks hat surgically attached to his head. So caps could be an answer here. In a new relationship with a lovely woman named Audrey. He's way over his skis on this. I hope he doesn't blow it. Good guy, good family guy, and a great guy to have around the show. And like I said, really smart guy, good producer, you know, good broadcasting guy, good guy. Could be a management someday, probably fire all of us. But Mike, I'm not sure what to get Mike because Mike's a little tightly wound, and I believe at some point he may come in here and kill all of us. All right, so possibly tying him down to something would be a good call. But these are all little helpers to get your brain started so you can help me figure out what to get for these guys. Steve Grzanich. Steve Grzanich on the seventh floor. Steve and I have only known each other since this year. And Steve is an enigma wrapped up in a croissant and possibly a donut.
Croissant.
I'm pretty sure I'm locked into a food gift for Steve of some kind because nothing makes him happier than when there's food on the show. He will knock over little old ladies touring the Tribune Tower to get to the free food here in the studio, but does a really nice job and is also a little... Look, everybody on the show is nuts because anybody in show business is nuts, me included. You'd have to be.
No, not everybody.
Veronica brought in a plate full of cookies today. Oh, boy.
Did somebody's hand get bitten off?
Almost.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
By the way, after you just said that everybody's nuts in show business, Mary back here says, of course, I'm not nuts.
By the way, Sandberg's nuts.
Very much so.
Yes, Mary Sandberg, Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet.
You wonder why I'm tightly wound sometimes?
Sandberg, Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. She's been a great addition to the show. I shouldn't use past tense. She is a great addition to the show. She appears by all accounts to be a great mom when she's not cursing at her children. She's got certain quirks that come out on the air that really bring out a passion in the textures like I've never seen. A passion in the textures where half of them say, you should throw her out the front door today and call the authorities, and the other half say, that's the stuff I always wanted to say that I never say.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to watch you tread lightly as you're describing Mary.
Go I'm afraid of her, too.
I know.
She comes from a great family. I love her parents and her sister. We love Mary as well. I don't want it to sound like we're throwing her out with the story here. But she has very specific taste. Now, she's told me again and again she's not judgmental. She's just direct. So for the sake of my own personal safety, I'll say, you know what? She's not judgmental. She's just
there
direct.
There you go.
But I think her tastes are very specific. And I feel like I need to get her something in alignment with her tastes. And I believe her tastes are judgmental. So if you could possibly keep in mind
be
those
judgmental
in particular.
Yes. When deciding.
And my friend Andrea, who Andrea and I have been very close for, 20 years?
Yeah,
20 years, maybe longer.
Long time.
Big heart and incredibly neurotic and also wacky, but wacky in a good way. Poked her own eye out a couple of weeks ago. But an eye patch is off the gift list. Loves golf. Really doesn't like people that much, but pretends that she does.
No, I do love people.
Yes,
I
do. Great godmom to a couple of beautiful kids. Here's the bottom line: I got nothing but nice people on this show.
Yes.
Nice people. You're all nuts. Nothing but nice people. Oh, and I forgot about Andy Mazur.
It's okay.
Andy Mazur needs a job for Christmas. Please let him know. So I need gift ideas, and one of the gift ideas you guys present to me, I'll actually go out and get. Okay. The others, maybe not. Maybe you fill out the whole list, but I'm looking for you to save time for me, all right? Because I feel like we do a lot for you on this show, and you don't pay that much for it. So thank you for your support, your continued support. Please send in your suggestions at 312-981-7200. Any questions, any answers?
Are they going to suggest gifts for you?
No, you guys don't buy me stuff.
Well, someone's going to get you in the Secret Santa.
By the way, the best answer today, and I can't exactly, you know, line that up and say this is the one I'm going to get because I want it to be a surprise and I pick them, but we'll announce it randomly at the end of the show. We'll get a pair of tickets to see Jay Leno at the Rosemont Theater on April 19th at the Rosemont Theater. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. So we'll give you Leno tickets for participation. All right? Did I forget anybody? Did I cover everybody?
I think you got everybody, yeah.
Oh, Orion.
Oh, big O.
Never mind. Vodka. Some really good texters so far. Let's see. Andrea, a gift card to Italy's cooking classes.
That's true. That's probably, yeah. I'm not the best cook.
Andrea, get a nice bottle of wine or maybe two, depending on her day.
Thanks.
She's like a fine wine. She gets better with age.
Oh, that's nice.
Andrea, give her a list of good questions to ask your guests where she can interrupt you as much as you interrupt her.
Oh, no, that's okay.
You don't interrupt. Get everyone a hand-knitted scarf and feed hungry neighbors in Northern Illinois. 100% of the proceeds go to the Northern Illinois Food Bank. From String Theory Yarn Shop. That's a nice idea.
That's a very nice idea, yeah.
I like that.
Andrea loves to travel. Give her a week-long trip to Mexico, but send her with Ro and then make sure they call.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Ro, yeah, Anna did text me.
That's
asked if I wanted
actually
to go.
That's pretty funny. And since everybody on the show is nuts, Godiva's Nuts and Caramel page on the Godiva website would be perfect for everybody. A selection of nuts for the nuts on your show.
Oh, that sounds good.
Love
actually.
It.
Here's a few more. 630, duct tape for everybody. Comes in designer plots and patterns to fit every wardrobe or car or loose baseboard.
Oh, I thought they wanted to use it on her
mouth. Perfect. For my baseboard.
Depends on your Friday night, I suppose.
Yeah. Hello.
312, Dave doesn't drink a lot and really doesn't love kale that much, but he is the hardest working guy in sports. Give him a gift card for a 90-minute massage.
That's in it.
Yeah, and it actually
texted it in.
Yeah. Do you think he'd be all wound up, though?
I was going to say, could he sit still for 90 minutes?
No, he could, as long as he would have his keyboard in front of him. He could write a sports quest. He pounds on that keyboard. You know, the engineers in here, he's got the strength of Bam Bam from the Flintstones. The engineers in here replace keyboards every 20 minutes because he's pounding on them and just plastic shattering all over the place. Let's see, 224. Andrea gets a pink toolbox and a fix-it book with Lou Manfredini's number taped to it. Dave gets a cookbook and something for his garden, maybe a pillow for when he drinks too much and falls asleep in the garden. Mary gets a gift card to a craft store. Mike gets a night out to Jameson and Jameson's, and so does Jake. Well, Mike and Jake are the same person. We'll get them, too. Mary Boyle, Frozen Glazier, and Farfik Nugan, Comcast Sportsnet, gets paper towels and frozen pizzas. And Annie gets a card to a bookstore.
This person nailed it.
This person knows the show.
How about that? Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
They listen. That is a good listen.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
We got a clip of Spike with John Glenn back in 1999. We played a piece of it earlier. We'll play a little bit more of it here shortly. And Spike Odell joins us now from his palatial estate in Nashville.
Hello, ladies and jellyfish. How are you?
I understand you were shocked that this segment was on time.
I said to Mary, I said, Cochran is on time? And dogs and cats will be living together before we know it.
Yeah, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Spike. Fun. Good to hear from
you.
Hi.
Everybody's here. Andy Mazur's here for Dave today.
You mean Sandy Flavors?
Sandy Flavors is here today. Say hi.
Love you, man.
There you go.
I love you too, buddy. How you doing?
And Andrea's here, but she has no interest in talking
hi,
to you.
Hi, Spikey.
Right now.
Love you. Miss you, baby. Feta.
Thank you.
Best of the family. All the grandkids great, dude?
Yeah, we're getting good. Yeah, we're getting all ready for Christmas and everything, so everything's well.
And little Abigail Grace will be one next Saturday.
Hmm. Boy, that's about, 14 pounds worth of cute right there,
that's
isn't it?
That's a good-looking kid. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But she doesn't have Ross's beard, which I consider a total bonus. I mean, that would be a real hindrance for a little girl at one, don't you think?
That's not I agree.
All right, so listen, you're my favorite space geek. We know Grzanich is nuts for this as well, so he's going to want to jump in. But nobody loves space and space stuff more than you. And frankly, I've never known anybody more educated in the history of the American space program that's a civilian than you. I mean, you're in walking Wikipedia for this stuff.
I just read it all the time. I still do. I'm still out at night watching satellites fly over. I listen to the beeps of the satellites on my radio in the house. I'm geeky for that kind of geeky stuff.
And I grew up in the 60s and 70s, so I was all about the Apollo thing. And I've told the story before, but I love the fact that my dad worked at a company that made something for the Apollo rockets. You know, when I was a kid, as far as I was concerned, it was all the important stuff. It could have been a nut. Could have been a washer.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be. But everybody that was involved in putting men safely into space and bringing them back.
Thousands.
It's a big deal. Big deal.
Yeah, sure is.
All right, so we should all live to 95 and have a life like John Glenn. But there was only one John Glenn, right?
You know, I was thinking about that, and you know, when I heard the news yesterday, everybody kind of knew it was coming because he wasn't doing well, and I more and more people would, every time they would say John Glenn, American hero, icon, the word hero just kept coming back to me, and I don't want to diminish the word hero for a lot of people who are heroes, people who run into burning buildings or police officers or the people on the battlefield out front. But John Glenn might have been those heroes' hero,
because
of what he did. He and people who lived in that era understand it better than people who do now. I just worry about the kids nowadays. I don't want to sound like my dad or anything, but who are their heroes? I mean, their real hero. Are they movie characters, sports figures, music stars? We had a hero in John Glenn who put the weight of a nation on his shoulder.
Yeah, and the weight of a dream. And you tell me, but my understanding of that first ride and that first orbit was essentially a rocket that had failed twice, and they weren't sure it was going to work, and you put a human being on top of what is a bomb that's going to explode and throw you into space and hope we get you back. I mean, that's gutsy.
He said later that he figured he had a 50-50 chance of doing this right, but he said, let's go, let's do it. We can't get further behind. I mean, they made fun of him for being a goody two-shoe attaboy kind of guy, but that's the kind of guy he was, you know? He was just the good all-American, let's do this for country.
And you know what? And two Spike and Steve, he kept contributing. He could have just gone on the speaking tour, the autograph circuit tour. He was a senator.
One of the four or five things that he did could have been an entire life on its own that you could write a book about. But he just kept doing it. You're right.
Passing meaningful legislation. You know, doing things through the day he died.
Ran for president and decided at 70. You know, it'd be fun at 77. I'm going to go back into space.
You know, he had a great sense of humor, too. One of the quotes from those early days is when he said, as I hurtled through space, one thought kept crossing my mind. Every part of this rocket's been supplied by the lowest bidder.
That's very funny.
He had a good sense of humor about it. And he knew the odds, but he still said, let's do this. Let's go. And it stings a little bit with his passing, too, because he's the last of those original seven,
alive,
were now passed on. But those were the guys. I remember when they trotted those guys out in front of the press, those seven guys, and my dad was telling me, he was explaining what was going to happen, and I was just getting the concept. I was, I don't know, at the time, six or seven or eight or something, but I was just understanding the concept that these guys are going to be squeezed into this, they called it a can of Spam back in those days.
Right.
And they were going to be, like you said, they were going to be put on top of a rocket that didn't really work real well and didn't have a good track history and go into outer space. That just blew me away.
Well, here's what, you touched on something that I'd love you to talk about for a second, because we've got teachers on the way to school this morning who really, I hope, are going to address this today to their classes, now, especially younger kids. But there's teachers going to school today who are 45 or 40 or certainly under 40, who can only connect with this because they've seen news footage or they've heard about it. I mean, they can't relate to it. I mean, I was a little kid in the 60s. So what do you say to teachers that they can take away and tell those kids today about what a big deal this was?
I think I would just go back to the, you know, what was happening at the time. The United States was getting whipped. I mean, we were in a weird time. We'd just gone through the Cuban Missile Crisis. Tensions were not good, you know, between the two superpowers. And we were getting whipped by the Russians. We needed a kick in the pants, a shot of adrenaline. We needed something to prove to the nation as a whole that, you know what, we're not second class. We are the best. And even though we weren't, we went on and put on a PR show that we were, and we were lucky to get through this, and we went on to become the best. That's the kind of inspiration and the kind of stuff that I'm not sure we're going to see that much anymore. I hope to God we do, but I don't see that bubbling under the surface much anymore.
And you think about the risk that was taken by all, but the risk that we talked about with John Glenn taking that, because we lost Apollo astronauts and we lost people in the space program. And that started the ball rolling that would lead eventually to Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walking on the moon. And all those guys are either gone or going soon. So I really hope teachers, no matter how old you are, lock into this and spend a little time telling kids about it and fire up kids' imagination about it as well. Anyway, I want to come back.
Yeah.
It's Spike. It's Steve Grzanich. It's Andrea, who was, of course, on Apollo 11. All of them coming back in just a second on 720 WGN. Mary, traffic.
Inbound side of the Eaton's not too bad. Some delays from TUI. The inbound Kennedy heating up 32 from O'Hare, about 16 from the Eaton's inbound on the Eisenhower, 45 from 53, 34 in the inbound Stevenson from the Tri-State. Ryan's up to 22 from 95th. No big backups anymore in the tolls. That earlier accident northbound Tri-State has been cleared near I-90 and in South Elgin, accident route 25 in Stearns. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Let's talk about investing for a second. By the way, I just took a bite of a muffin.
Pretty good?
Well, it's not
pretty
bad.
Tasty.
Wait, there are muffins down there? What?
Oh,
you
no.
got a plate full of cookies, Grzanich.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
And cupcakes.
What a rookie mistake by me that I would mention food because it's going to distract Steve like a dog when it hears a funny noise. Steve senses food in the building and his head cocks to the side. You don't like when a dog hears a funny noise?
What?
By the way, Steve, you're out of the chair. We're talking about Christmas gifts for the staff. I thought the umbrella of food for you would be good.
Yeah, or food delivered by a drone or something like that. Those are the two, I think, the two competing interests this year, drone and food.
Those are the dreams of a young boy named Grzanich.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You've got a brand new book out, John Glenn, a memoir. Your father was a plumber, and he actually wanted you to go into the business?
That really was my first job, was working with him some in the small plumbing shop or digging septic tank holes or ditches. And after World War II was over, he was about to retirement age, and he asked me if I'd be interested in taking over that business, which he hoped I would do, but I just really wasn't interested in that. And of course, Annie's dad was our town dentist, and he was interested in me maybe going to dental school and then taking that over, and I wasn't interested in being a dentist either. So it may have been a bit of a disappointment there, but I think my dad really knew, he knew at the time that I wasn't interested in going into that and staying there and doing that.
I think you made the right move.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Pretty sure you did.
There's a modesty and a sense of honor that goes with the Greatest Generation that is another thing. Like you, Spike, I think I worry that maybe we've lost because so much is about me and what I've done and what, you know, and talking to you, and then you can tell me what you've done. And I never heard an interview, including the times that you spoke with John Glenn, where he wasn't completely modest, and it wasn't some fake modesty. It was like, well, you know, the people that deserve credit are the people at NASA, the people you don't know the names, the people that put all this together.
And first and foremost, everything you said was his family. He loved his wife, Annie. He absolutely loved her, took care of her. I understand even on his deathbed, literally, he kept asking about her and making sure she was okay. So he was just a nice, good man and calm, very calm. You know, on his first flight, his orbital flight, they had problems coming back in with the heat shield. He knew very well, even though they didn't tell him they had problems, he knew very well when they asked him to keep the retropack straps on the vehicle that something was wrong because that was not normal procedure. But his heart rate indicated it was just a little higher than normal. Not, I mean, probably lower than mine right now. But,
right.
He was just Mr. Cool, Mr. Calm, you know.
And wasn't that one of the key ingredients of the program? I mean, even Apollo 13, they say that Lovell, was able to calm down the other two guys who were freaking out when they realized they had to. Yeah.
Gordon Cooper, the last guy to fly the original seven in the Mercury program, there were so many holds on the pad that he fell asleep just you know, about an hour before he launched. That's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Hey, Spike, I'm curious to know, you know, how do we keep his legacy alive? Because one of the things he was all about was inspiring young people to get involved and do something, as he always used to say, to dedicate themselves to the good of mankind. We're kind of losing that, aren't we? I mean, how do we inspire young people to keep his legacy alive?
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what his goal was. Even with these memoir, that book that he wrote, that's what it was all about. I tell you, another person who's that way is Buzz Aldrin. Buzz is trying to get the youth of America involved. There are some, but it's not like, you know, not like it was when we were kids, because space was new. It was an adventure. It was oh my gosh, we're really going out there and doing it. These guys are true explorers.
Right.
So there was a little romance to that. But now it's just, it's taken for granted, you know. It's they're launching. Like the other, you know, I rarely miss a launch, but I forgot they were launching something two nights ago. I usually watch those things, but I forgot all about it. It's just becoming every day.
Well, you remember that.
Doing it in one way.
You remember the shuttle program got routine. The shuttle program, yes. Well, even the Apollo program. There's a scene in Apollo 13 where they talk about that, where they were having trouble getting the networks to carry the address from the astronauts on 13. You can never take that kind of adventure and heroism for granted. This ain't X Games, kids. This is real.
Yeah, space is hard. It's hard to do. Just what may seem a routine launch, or they're just going to go up in orbit again. It's still very hard to make that happen. Even the Soviets' launch delivery system. It's not perfect. It just blew up the other day. And there's a risk involved with everything, and in that kind of business, it's a very risky thing.
When they do the Radio Legends tour, you both would be on it, wouldn't you?
We mean going up in space?
Yeah.
I'm like Spike. I'd go up tomorrow. I'd go up today.
That's great.
I'd leave here right now. I'd go.
I'd carry your luggage.
I'd go get a plane right now and fly to wherever and go.
Yep. I would go right now. Can I tell you about when I actually met John Glenn?
Yeah, of course.
Face to face. Very quickly, I'll tell you, I was in an FBO, a fixed base operator. That's a place where private airplanes will fly in, and you'll get refill with gas, maybe get a sandwich, go to the bathroom, wait for customers, whatever. I flew with a friend of mine. We landed in Colorado Springs, and I went into the men's room, and I walked in, and there's a line of those standing urinals there for the men, and I stood. It was pretty busy, but I walked into one, and I stood there, and I was doing what I was doing, and the guy next to me, I looked at him, and I said, John. I said, John Glenn. He says, yes, sir. And I thought, I want to shake his hand, but I thought, don't do that now, Spike. Don't do that now. He's busy, and so are you. So we'll wait till we get out of here. And I did. You know, later on, we went back in the waiting room there, and I talked to him a little bit. And I was just so – I was blown away that was John Glenn. He was flying all by himself. He was flying – if I remember correctly, it was a little Baron, a Beechcraft twin Baron, all by himself.
How about that?
Nobody bothered him. And I'm just thinking, my gosh, I'm taking a leak next to an American hero.
So the rule of men don't talk at the urinals, that went out the window.
Well, at least in that case it did. Ugh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the fact that I looked over at him and noticed him, that scared me too, you know?
Yeah, Spike thought he was having a moment, just imagining he was there.
Wow, blew me away.
How many people you've told that story to asked if you snuck a peek at the lunar module? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. You're the best, bud. And I think, Steve, you tell me, but don't you have Captain Lovell's reaction to this at some point
today? Yeah, we will have him again coming up before the top of the hour. Jim Lovell talking about his friend, good friend, John Glenn.
The commander. Good man, Jim Lovell. Good man.
Good friends with Spike O'Dell. Thanks for the memory, Spike.
Thank you for helping me remember all this stuff. What a good, good man. We've lost one of the original seven, and I just... It's sad, but thank God we had him for us.
It's sad, but what a run. What a run.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you could ever celebrate a life, man. 95, that's the way to go. Yeah. All right, buddy. All the best.
Love you.
That's Spike.
Love you, Spike.
Okay, back after this with the big story on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's the worst quarterback that has played in the NFL the last 5 years.
Period.
Loser. And that's embarrassing. We look like losers.
And they weren't ready. Weren't ready.
He went from all Sean to some Sean to no Sean in about a month here. If you're not going to help us, get out of the damn way.
Period.
It's almost like he's paralyzed by indecision. And folks,
I got a better word for it, Danny. How about, could it be possible this kid takes scared to death pill?
It's always funny. I don't care. We're on CLTV this morning at 9 and every morning at 9 and Roseanne at 3. And you can see the boys on the Sunday Hamp OB and Cause with Little Marky Carmen Show on CLTV as well. Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, joins us now. Good morning, Hamp. How are you?
Doing pretty well. And by the way, I hope there has been a conclusion to the investigation on why the big screen TV blew up in the conference room. We don't know anything about it.
There was a point where if you were to go into the conference room at a time where either the Bears were playing poorly or Hamp checked to see the numbers on the other games he had an interest in, we usually had to replace a conference room table every couple of weeks, but the TV was almost always safe. But I don't know what happened either, Hamp. It's a miracle. It's a mystery.
Yeah, I think it's on suspension. We had to go to the studio to watch the conclusion.
We keep Apt Electronics on speed dial every Sunday in case the guys rip the electronics out of the wall.
Well, this is going to be a little bit of must-see TV. See if we can duplicate the fine effort we had with the Detroit Lions when they came over here in. I think it was early October.
That was a win,
and it was easily Matt Stafford's worst day of the season. Let's see if we can't give him a little bit more joy during the Christmas season.
Speaking of Christmas, before we get too deep in this, what do you get Dan Hampton for Christmas? Are you tough to buy for? I'm guessing you're tough to buy for.
Who? What do I get me?
No. What was your family into buying you? I would think it's you're tough to buy for. I would think, you know, what do you buy the Hall of Famer? What do you buy the guy that's got everything?
Well, I don't have everything, but I have everything that I really want. I'm not much of a, you know, gift giver. I just like
gift getter or giver?
Either one.
Oh, okay.
I give quite a bit during the course of the year, but I don't know. It's kind of never thought about it. You know, the Hampton House is obviously, you know, rife with gifts on Christmas morning. But I don't really look forward to it. Gina gets me a lot of times different ties to wear, but
not for TV.
Other than that, I really don't need much.
You know, you can always get him balls, and I've played golf with Hamp a number of times. It's always fun. And Hamp, it's surprising, but Hamp really likes a top flight. And you know, you go, oh, he loves a top flight. Spend $9-10 on a dozen balls, he's happy. Isn't that right, Hamp?
That's it. Hey, everybody's looking for a ball that will stop. I'm looking for one that'll go.
All right, so let's talk about. Oh, and by the way, Andy Mazur's here. Say hi to Hamp.
Hamp, how you doing?
Maze, great to hear you, bud.
All right, so let's talk about the Lions first. They're much better and much more cohesive unit than they were the first time around. They got to be a heavy favorite in this game, right?
Well, right now it's a little over a touchdown, but more importantly, we're going to find out a lot about who this Bears team is. You know, it last man standing. We know that so many injuries have decimated, you know, a lot of the key figures on this team. And, you know, of course, the suspensions, two of the better players on the team will not play, Alshon and, of course, our middle linebacker from Indianapolis, Jarrell Freeman. But all that being said, we have kind of put some pieces together. Last week, Akeem Hicks, maybe his finest game of his career. Eddie Goldman played terrific. The kid Leonard Floyd still has a ways to go, but you see in spots, you know, something I never saw with a John Theory or some of these other first round defensive linemen was that moment where you say, wow, hey, that was different. That was special. This kid showed me three or four of those moments already this year. So there's a lot, you know, still to be told about this football team. And of course, on the offense, hey, Matt Barkley and the posse of no names. We've got our fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh receiver, Daniel Braverman being probably included in that group, and a bunch of young tight ends. Nobody even knows their name. You know, with Braun Ecker and Daniel Brown and the rest of these guys. It'll be interesting to see, is the moment a little bit too big for them? Are they going to be able to play a game similar to what we were able to do, some 8-9 weeks ago and kind of shock the Detroit Lions, who, by the way, snicker, snicker, no more, they are leading the NFC North.
Isn't it amazing that it took a snowstorm to have Dow Loggins have Jordan Howard run more than 20 times in a game? I mean, you're not going to get a snowstorm at Ford Field, but maybe he learned something?
I hope so, Andy. Yeah, and again, all year long, we've kind of held him, Dow Loggins, at arm's length, going, okay, who are you? What are you? What are you doing? And we've got three wins. The common denominator is in each of those wins, Jordan Howard was given the ball at least 23 times. It doesn't seem like it's that far of a stretch for somebody to kind of start connecting the dots. So, yeah, you're always saying to yourself, what the heck are you watching? What are you thinking? Let's hope. And it's always the maxim when you go into a game with a team like the Lions that can light you up, that has a quarterback that's, he's been, I think his last 18 games over at Ford Field, he's been just off the charts, well over 100 rating, a lot of touchdowns, and very few interceptions. The guy, they are playing well. You don't want to keep punting the ball back to him. Let's run the ball. Let's move the chains. Let's try to get in the red zone and make something happen.
It's Dan Hampton from your Chicago Bears. I'd get the Bears for Christmas? I'd get them Hamps enthusiasm.
Amen.
Yeah, I get them a big injection of Hamps enthusiasm because I saw a little bit of it. I almost saw – now, you're going to think I'm nuts. Both of you guys are going to think I'm lunatic here. I saw effort last Sunday. I saw effort. I saw desire to win last Sunday. And I was going to call in the authorities and say, I want to check, make sure this is the same team I've seen all season. So that's what I'd like to see for the rest of the season. You want to give a Christmas gift to Bears fans? Put the kind of effort out you put out last weekend and let the chips fall where they may.
Hey, man, I love that. And, at some point, pocket warmers wouldn't be bad. Think about that.
Did you ever play with anything like that? What were pocket warmers in your day?
No, we scoffed at people that had that kind of stuff on. And those little cocoon things for their hands.
For your paws, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, it is what it is. And I think you heard me say this. I would be in the huddle saying, okay, yeah, we're cold. But as soon as we get them stopped, we get to go back to the sideline. Right. But they got a heater.
So. See, it seems like the goal's attainable here, fellas. Tackle somebody and warm up.
There you go. Hey, make a play. We're off the field.
Still have Blackhawk tickets to give away, too, by the way, kids. At any moment, I'll give you the, what is it, the Rhymopedia, the Hawka Rhyming?
Hawka Riddle.
Hawka Riddle, that's it.
Yeah.
The Hawka Riddle coming up, and if you can guess the answer, you'll win the Hawks tickets and qualify for season tickets. Dan Hampton's here. Hamp, OB, Kaz, and little Marky Carmen, Sunday afternoon here and on CLTV as well. All right, Hamp, so the number one thing that's going to tell you first quarter Sunday that the Bears have a shot against the Lions is if you see what?
The defensive line get to Matt Stafford. We didn't really pressure him as well as we would have liked, but McPhee, I think Willie was out. Leonard Floyd had not kind of emerged. We need pressure. You know, since we beat Matt Stafford, he's won, like I said, a tear. I just looked it up. He's had 14 touchdowns, only one interception. The guy's playing great. The only way you can, disrupt a great quarterback and his receivers is get pressure. We've got to get pressure.
Andy, you agree, or you got another one?
Yeah, I agree. I'm just curious, Hamp, about what you think from Barkley making his first career road start. I know he came in a little mop-up duty there in Green Bay, but it's a different animal playing indoors, especially against the first-place team.
Absolutely. And if you look at the schedule of the Detroit Lions, traditionally we could kind of halfway count on them overlooking the Bears and basically, you know, playing into the Bears' hands. Not going to happen. They've got some real tough games. They got Dallas, the Giants, and Green Bay, the three remaining games. So they're smart enough to be in the locker room going, well, if we got to get two wins, maybe three out of this four-game sec. We better make sure we take care of business against the Bears. So, again, the Lions, it's hard to believe, but they're on pace to win their first division crown since, I think, 93. So it's been a long time coming. I don't think they're going to be sleeping when we show up Sunday morning.
Predictions, Andy.
I say the Lions 27, Bears 13.
I think it's going to be close, but I'm going Lions late, 17-16.
All right, I'll go 30-20, the Detroit Lions. And, you know, I really feel like we're going to play a real competitive game. I've been to Detroit when they've got it going. It's kind of a tough spot to get them slowed down. I hope we'd play better, but it's a tough spot. And especially when you look at Matt Stafford and what he's been able to accomplish and the fact that Matt Barkley is throwing to Daniel Braverman in practice this week. So, I mean, that's what we're countering.
Yeah, how about that, right?
You got to have the ponies. And, you know, right now we just don't have any weapons that can match up with what Detroit has.
Let me tell you something. You swing by Arlington, pick up a couple of ponies, put Bears jerseys on them. We may have the same shot. How do you catch a football with hooves? Well, let's take our chances. all right, thank you, Mr. Hampton. We look forward to talking to you on Monday.
Monday morning.
All right, buddy.
Chevy, go Bears.
ChevyDriveChicago.com brings you Dan Hampton.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. And I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I don't need to hang my stocking. They're up on the fire.
That's the part we have to hitch up your underpants. When you get that, all I want for Christmas is you. Ready? Hitch it. You know, if we're going to really crank out the Christmas tunes, you got to give me a little Springsteen. You got to work that in. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah, a little Annie Lennox.
That's a great song. Yeah.
Stevie Nicks. Silent Night.
Stevie Nicks' Silent Night.
Ooh. She didn't sing that last week. A lot of people were asking me that. She should have.
She probably still has some of those drugs from the 60s and 70s wearing off.
She had something going on. Wow.
Dean, we can't connect with Dean in New York. Dean is in the middle of taping something right now. So we're gonna forego the Dean today. I know I'm just as deeply disappointed as you are. But Dean will be back on Monday for more of the very important news that we give you each morning, Monday through Friday in the 8 o'clock hour.
Do you want to give at least the Mick Jagger news?
Mick Jagger is a father for the 8th time.
At 73.
Oh. Yeah.
But it's her first, his girlfriend.
How old is she?
17, 18.
20. She's 29. Melanie Hamrick.
And how old is his oldest?
68.
Yeah, probably.
No, they range in age from 45 down to 17. Well, now, birth. 45 to day.
I bet Mick Jagger's a really indulgent dad. Probably goes to all the Little League games.
Sure.
You know, reads them all to sleep. Spends a lot of time with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dottie has to go now. There's a groupie outside.
45.
Rod Stewart has like 8 or 9 kids. And this is going back to last summer, but the kid's maybe a year and a half old now. But I think they ranged in age from like 1 to 53.
Yeah, it was a bigger age span. Yeah.
That's why I quit being a rock star. There's no future in it. I have Christmas gift ideas for the staff that the listeners have come up with. I mentioned earlier in the show today that I don't have time to be creative this year and go out and do, because I feel like I've given you guys pretty good gifts in the past.
Great gifts. You're a good gift giver.
You are very good.
But I just, or this year, yeah, it's actually Maureen. But this year, I just
having a tough time.
Having a tough time.
Well, there's a lot of us. It's coming up so quickly.
Here's an idea I think y'all really like from a 219, Steve. Get a photo collage with the whole gang in the photo collage that you could give one to each of them. And then right in the center is a big picture of Abigail.
Oh. Yeah,
not me, Abigail.
That's cool. Yeah, Abigail. We've done that before. We've given pictures, you know, staff pictures.
Yeah, you gave us some, Andrea.
Yeah,
once.
We take kind of group shots.
I still put it out every Christmas of all of us.
Oh, Mary,
it's
that
so,
is so
cute
sweet.
In the frame.
Yeah, you don't leave it up year round?
No, just at Christmas.
From the 847 for Dave, get him an electric chainsaw to cut the damn buckthorn down. I'm tired of hearing about it.
It's a bad buckthorn.
It really is. Andrea, a lifetime supply of hand sanitizer and Lysol.
Boy, people know me.
Andy, a plant that you can ignore and it still won't die. I suggest something called mother-in-law's tongue.
Okay.
What's that?
I have no idea.
Mike, a starvation package so he can relax for a weekend. What's a starvation package? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. There's nothing about starvation that seems relaxing, though.
No.
Yeah, and
well,
he
that's
got to
be like a massage thing or something. I don't
it's
know.
It's got to be. You know, Mark Harmon does these retreats, you know, and you kind of go and it's like a self-help thing and calms you down. Maybe that's part of it.
Mark Harmon, Mark's one of those guys where the glass isn't half full or half empty. He didn't get a glass. And so if he's going on one of these retreats, I'm not thinking it's a real positive experience.
I'm going to send my husband on one of those.
Dave should get a Northwestern-themed hat that holds a beer on each side of his head with a straw going down to his mouth so he could keep drinking during the game.
Did you imagine?
That's fantastic. Although each would hold like a bottle of wine.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a beer guy. Well, he is a beer guy. He's a craft beer guy.
Yeah. It's everything.
Yeah. 847, Mary and Dave and Sandberg are all health nuts. Get them Harry and David's Fruit of the Month Club.
That's, you know, I had an agent who did that.
Well, my agent, Steve Mandel, super agent Steve Mandel, sends a box of fruit every month, and Sandberg always takes it.
Oh, she takes the fruit. Those are some good pears.
And she knows how much I love pears.
As long as there's not any poison apples.
Isn't that true? Aren't you a thief? You're a fruit thief.
Pears are fantastic, though.
You're a complete fruit thief. Well, or did I tell you to take it?
You told me to take it, but it's from David Hochberg for you giving
him a son. Oh, that's
Hochberg? Yes, it's a year of fruit.
Oh, that's Hochberg. I thought those were Mandel. So Mandel's a one-hitter. Mandel's only December.
Is that, I don't know.
Yeah,
what
he used
he
to
gave
do
me.
That.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I know that David Hochberg, it says every month, it says on the package, thanks for everything you do.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's nice.
And then the one month that comes, there's 14 pounds of grapes. I love grapes. And I come back, and what do I see? The grapes sitting on the counter and a bunch of people pawing through
it. I gave them to the staff, yeah, because I'm like, I can't take all these grapes home. This is too many grapes.
So the only thing I want was grapes.
I know, but you didn't tell me that. The first month was pineapples. That was the best month because I like pineapples.
Pineapples, yeah, I would have probably done the pineapples because, you know, I keep that pineapple knife handy in the office when I could cut pineapples.
A decorker. What do they call that thing that sucks out the middle part of the pineapple?
I don't know.
So you don't have to eat the hard part.
Extricator.
Yeah, something like that.
Andrea loves wine, so get her wine at the month club.
Dave
could use a breathalyzer test.
You know, they sell those little breathalyzers that you could have.
Yeah, for your phone.
Yeah.
You can put it in your phone.
God bless the WGN family. Merry Christmas and a prosperous new year. Isn't that nice?
Very nice. Very nice.
Get everybody Garrett's popcorn. Give Mary a lifetime supply of Static Guard.
Oh, there you go.
Mary Sandberg.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that Garrett's popcorn, except for I need a small portion because I tend to eat too much and it makes my stomach hurt.
Like the pizzas.
Right. How about some Pepto with your popcorn?
That would work.
Yeah. I mentioned the photo collage. I got all of those. And here's a few more. Rags of Honor shirts. Everybody gets a Rags of Honor shirt.
That's a great gift.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Somebody just texted in a Chia Trump for everyone.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sell those at Walgreens.
Oh, we wanted to get you a Chia Trump. That's right.
Sandberg, break into her house and mess up her closet. She'll love cleaning them all weekend.
Oh, no. I don't like the thought of that at all.
Oh, no. And then on Monday, we'd have to hear all about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to relax. Sometimes Catherine will say, you know, can I borrow a sweatshirt? And then she's like, I'll just go get it. And I'm like,
oh,
let me just go get it for you, honey.
Let's plan a wire hanger.
The children don't get to go in your closet?
No.
I'm telling you, let's plan a wire hanger in Sandberg's closet.
She can stand behind
closet.
Me and point at where she, what item she's looking for.
What is it,
for?
Like a museum?
Yeah. There's like velvet ropes in
oh
front of it.
God.
Plastic bags.
Spotlights.
On clothes.
Oh, it's my mom's house.
Designer socks, paper towels, and frozen pizza. Wasn't that a band called Paper Towels and Frozen Pizza?
I think it was. It was a bluesy band.
Get Grzanich a recipe book called 50 Shades of Chicken.
Oh, different ways to prepare chicken. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should do that with bacon for him. He makes bacon up here every day.
How do you make
place,
bacon?
Well, in the microwave. He just puts it in, and so the place smells like bacon every day.
Make
so
a microwave
he,
bacon? Right?
You know, he brings Steve. Bacon. You bring bacon to work?
Yes.
Do you bring raw bacon to work?
No, I bring the microwavable bacon. It's like you heat it up for like a minute, and it's like regular bacon.
This but every day. That's not good every day.
I don't
day.
Have it every day.
Yes, you do.
This Mary, is the have
fastest,
I had it today?
It's the fastest
Oh, no,
because
you've had a plate of cookies.
Move, Steve. Did you see? He just like dashed
well, I just,
over
I
there.
I felt like I had bacon. To defend myself because I don't eat bacon every day.
How many days a week do you have bacon?
Maybe once.
How many days a week do you have bacon?
Maybe once.
How many days a week do you have bacon?
Twice. Three times a bacon. are you kidding? If I had bacon every morning, I wouldn't be able to fit in this chair.
Somebody sent in an idea, which is really good, but it would be more for me than the person I'd be giving it to. Give Dave a membership at a massage place where he has to go every month for a year.
Oh, yeah.
And sometime between January and August, maybe he'd get comfortable.
Would right. there be a male or female massage
oh,
there?
Male. Be a dude. Oh, it'd definitely be a dude.
A big yes. dude. And make sure you get, like, a pedicure. You know, the things that he the things that he normally wouldn't get. Mm-hmm. A pedicure.
Well, we were talking at 900 North down the street of Bloomingdale's. There's that traditional barbershop, that British barbershop thing.
Yeah, it's the man spa.
Yeah, where they do all sorts of mani-pedis and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or my old friend Mario Tricosi. Mario Tricosi at one point did the mani-pedi and a scalp treatment for me. And they spun me around, and I had like the Judy Jetson hair dryer thing. And they spun me around. I looked in the mirror, and I literally said out loud, I said, thank God my father's dead because this would kill him.
It's like a scalp massage, right?
Like it feels good, doesn't it?
The hand massage was actually great. Oh, yeah, it really was.
Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. And get your back hawk tickets, yeah. Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. And get your black hawk tickets, yeah.
I've got Chicago Blackhawks tickets for you from our friends at... We've got it right here. No, it's here. It's over here. Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and other stuff. And they are supplying the tickets, not just for a single game, but you qualify for tickets for next season, season tickets. I think we've already done this twice, haven't we? Have we already given away two sets of season tickets?
We have, yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty sweet prize. Here is the riddle. And yes, for those of you who are big fans of I Got a Puck in My Pants, we will be stuffing pucks in celebrities' pants again soon. But these riddles are strong, too.
These are really good.
Built in 1930 and named after Max, you can come in the daytime and see the stars and relax. Compare me to others. I'm not a big place, but no other building in the city has more space.
That's a tough one.
Really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, timely today.
That's one of the toughest ones.
Built in 1930, named after Max. You can come in the daytime, see the stars, relax, compare me to others. I'm not a big place, but no other building in the city has more space.
Oh, I figured it out. This is a good one. This takes some thought. Not well, that the others didn't, of course.
He's come from the mind of John DeCoste.
I got it.
Don't say it.
I won't.
I did one time.
Think you know the answer?
Mm-hmm.
First correct caller, 312-981-7200. You'll be the winner of Hawks tickets. And it's going to shock you guys in the booth. I've lost my notes, so tell me what game they're for when you get a chance. All right, 8:30, just quickly, I want to grab a phone call, and then we'll tell you who the winner is. Yes, who's this?
Yes, I was just calling to. I'm here with my wife. We're big fans. I was trying to find out about your New Year's Eve show, the Cochrane New Year's Eve show.
Does that sound like DeCoste?
Sounds like Margaret. DeCoste, remember Margaret?
Sounds like Margaret and Phil.
Oh, and Phil, yeah.
These are callers we had this Phil. Week.
Yeah. And Darnell.
Okay. No, my name is Kellogg's.
Kellogg's. And what an interesting name. And that's your last name?
Name is Lysol.
Kellogg's Lysol. Wow. Is that Scottish?
We haven't done a DNA. We don't know yet.
Try that 23andMe thing.
My wife, Aquafina, is from Spain.
Of course she is. No doubts that everything you're telling me is true.
Here was my question. You're doing two shows, correct?
Two shows on New Year's Eve, that's right.
But the second one is at the Tivoli. Is that the one in Downers Grove or the one in Florence, Italy?
No, we're actually doing it at Downers Grove. Here's the deal. 1 o'clock, rouecenter.org, rouecenter.org. For the 1 o'clock show. And on that show, and Kellogg's, you may know this, on that show, Steve Cochran, John DeCoste, you sound remarkably like John DeCoste.
No, I've been Kellogg's for 21 years.
All right. Well, maybe you and Awkwafina can come to the show. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll be at the Tivoli in Downers Grove, ClassicCinemas.com. But that early show has got you and me, Tim Benker. And who am I forgetting, Kellogg's?
Well, I looked it up. It was Larry Reeve and Patty Vasquez, I think, for the 6. Yeah. And the 1 o'clock was Pat McGann.
Oh, Pat McGann. There you go. Yeah,
I think. I think.
Silly. It's well done. So get your tickets. Don't be left out. Get them now, and you got a nice Christmas present you can present as well. And we look forward to seeing you on New Year's Eve. Thanks, Kellogg's.
Yeah, we'll stop by and say hi.
Okay, you do that.
Say hey to Awkwafina.
It's just so weird, these people calling in sounding exactly like John DeCause. Tickets are for the Blackhawks in Dallas Sunday night. I'll be at that game. And you're entered to win 4 season tickets for next year. Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air, Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons, 4 seasons. You heard the riddle. We'll tell you who the winner is next when we do the big story on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 794. Well, thank the Hawks last night through a great party at Navy Pier. Weren't you there, Andre?
Oh, it was fantastic. We had the best time. We saw Coach Q. All the players were there. It's wonderful. We did a little ice skating. It was thank you to the Blackhawks. Great time. Got to make cookies.
And your little guy yelled out what to Q?
We saw Coach Q. He had Coach Q, I'm not kidding you, I took a picture, had a longer line wrapped around the tree than Santa Claus. We walked right up to Santa, but we couldn't get in the line.
By the way, Coach Q has more money than Santa Claus.
So little Jack.
Coach Q, if you need something, Coach Q can deliver.
So little Jack, you know, Coach Q is signing autographs, taking pictures. Little Jack went, Q!
How old's Jack?
He's 5.
Let's go to Coach Q now. Or as I like to call him, Santa.
There you go.
Yeah. Sponsored by Hooters. It's not just a restaurant. It's a way of life. Did you have a good time last night, Coach?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good crowd. It's always a fun get-together, I think, with the season ticket holders, getting to see some of the players and getting that environment, getting the Christmas mood, and it's a great setting, and you know, the Blackhawks do a great job, and everybody's excited to see some of the players.
So when you see some of the skating going on, you see any potential out there, any of the fans, maybe you could sign somebody?
You know, there's always, you never know, there's always these young kids. There's a lot of young hockey players out there that come.
Sure.
And there's you know, some good, a lot of kids, and it was a good night.
Our five-year-old tried my little godson tried ice skating for the first time. He had so much fun. He loved it. And Panarin came by and gave him a little thumbs up. He thought was so cool. And his little
was the thumbs up in Russian or is it an international thumbs up?
No, it was international thumbs up. But his little sister went, "You were just walking." First time the little guy ever tried skates on. It was great, though.
But he's got the little kid body, so if he falls down, he jumps.
I always remember the first time.
That was great.
It's very cool. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. And speaking of falling down and stuff, what do we know? How's the taser? And how's Seabrook? I was there the other night. And, man, did he take a hit going into the boards.
Yeah, he went in there awkwardly. And, you know, we'll see how he is today. Yesterday was, you know, it wasn't very good. And today, we ruled him out today. And hopefully he's not out too long. And Johnny is feeling better, and hopefully he gets on the ice over the next day, and then we'll make an assessment over the weekend there. But there's a chance he could play real soon, but he's really progressed well over the last few days.
I got to count myself out as usual. I have a lower body injury, so I don't know if you want to make a note of that, or I can call you later and remind you.
Yeah, you sound good though.
All right. Yes, sitting and talking seems to be the skill. All right, so a couple of interesting games this weekend against a couple of teams that have had really different starts. The Rangers tonight with Antti Raanta gets a win last night. I'm assuming you're going to see Lundqvist tonight. That's a good hockey team.
Very good. They're very good. They got real experienced defense. They've got, you know, they got real speed on 4 lines. A lot of skill. They're probably scoring at the best rate in the league, and they make plays and they're dangerous. You know, you got a lot of guys you got to be worried about, but their team speed is probably as fast as anybody up front, and And, you know, they got Lundqvist in net. So a lot of options against us tonight. So we got to be better. I thought last game we're coming off defensively probably our best game of the year. And that's something to think about tonight, that we're going to need everybody playing well without the puck.
And then on Sunday night, and I'll be out there on Sunday night, you got Dallas coming in, and they've had a real Midland start. I mean, 500 for them, not great. A couple of key injuries here and there, but certainly everybody gets dinged up early and late. It's hockey. Are they a different team at 500 than they would be if they were cruising?
Well, they had the best, you know, they're really good last year. They got off to an amazing start, and they beat us about five times or four of the five, basically in the first period when we saw them. And, you know, they're missing probably about four or five of their top forwards, and now they're starting to get some of them back. But they're coming off a big win last night. I think that they're a very dangerous team. They play us well. And so that'll be a fun test. We played them pretty well earlier on in the year, and we expect them to be, you know, be excited about playing us here on Sunday.
Coach, how nice is it to have some depth on the blue line now? I mean, you've got obviously Seabrook out tonight, but you've got guys that have been able to step up. Even some of the young guys have taken a leap forward.
Well, we got eight guys that can all play. We feel that all eight guys, when we make a decision on who's in the lineup, we think they can not just play, they can play against top lines, and they can play in special teams, and they're all, you know, functional. And I think we got a lot of options as far as the pairs goes, and we've tried a number of pairs to date. And with Siebes, he's had an extremely strong start to our season here, so we'll miss his steadiness and leadership as well. But we'll look to Van Riemsdyk getting back in there last couple of starts, and he's coming off a real strong game, and we'll put him with Brian Campbell tonight, and get some balance in our lineup on the back end.
I tell you, who's been nothing but fun, and I'm lucky I get to go to a lot of games, but to see Marian Hossa, who at 78 years old will skate into the corner, throw his walker away, and score again from an odd angle. I mean, he is playing his butt off, Coach.
He's on a roll. He's on a mission. It just seems like he's got the magic touch this year. Shooting the puck as good as he's ever had. Playing as well as he ever has as well. You know, defensively and responsibly. He leads the charge in how we want to play technically as well as the staff. But he just keeps doing it every day, and prepares the right way. But he, you know, he plays the perfect game. And then adding that scoring touch that he's had, he scored so many big goals for us this year. He's added probably 6, 7, 8 points to our standings, and that's put us in the position we're in this year.
And with as young as your roster is, to have a guy like Hossa there to show these young guys exactly how you want things to be done, and what it's like to be a professional, that's got to be a big blessing for you.
It is. I think that's the greatest way of these guys learning how to play. And technically, you know, we try to reinforce things, but just watch Hoss and him doing the right things is the greatest illustration of educating these guys of the technical part of our game. And but he just seems to, you know, to do the right things, and he knows how to do the little things to come up with loose pucks, to protect the puck, protect the stick. How to force these guys unload the puck, and those little things as far as where to be around the ice without the puck is something that he adds to our, I guess, the coaching part of it, the technical part that, you know, these guys get to see and can reinforce our game.
I know hockey players could be as superstitious as every other professional athlete. Are they trying to borrow his underwear or anything, or make sure they get the tape off his stick? You know, I mean, guys must be giving him the needle a little.
I don't know. He's got a new stick there, and I think that's helped. You know, I think he's shooting the puck better, and I think that he's got a little confidence right off the bat, and just seemed to be moving on with it. So it's been a real positive for him and for us, and you know, guys like to, you know, they don't like to change too much, and I think right off the bat when he did grab the new stick, I think he's got that feel back, and he's scoring at a real good rate.
Pretty cool. Hey, before I let you go, we had Eric Szymborski on last Friday. Could not be a nicer kid. And this very rare, seemingly goofy rule in the National Hockey League, though on the surface it makes sense. If you go into another city and for some reason you lose one of your goalies, you got to have two. You got to find another goalie. You're not going to have time to necessarily make a roster move or get somebody in depending on when the first guy goes down. And that's the situation you guys found yourselves in. So the Flyers have a list, the Hawks have a list, every team has a list, and one of the go-to guys turned out to be this 23-year-old who's Saturday morning, he's teaching kids how to skate, how to play hockey, a lot of them first-timers. He gets a call, gets screened very quickly. Next thing you know, he's your backup. Sembo, Eric Semborski. How cool is that story?
It's a great story, and he had a great attitude. He came in, the guys gave him a great ovation and a welcoming, and you know, he was took warm up. I was on the bench. He was eager. He was enthusiastic. He was observing. He was waiting for his opportunity. And you know, in that game, where you know, would if the right situation would have came up, we'd have put him in the net for a good moment, but didn't happen. And but he was a great attitude, and you got after the game, everything. I think everybody was pretty happy for him, and it was one of those moments I think he'll obviously never forget.
Oh, for the rest of his life. And I asked him when we had him in. I said, you know, how good are you? He goes, well, I'm not that good. And I said, oh, I hope you didn't tell Q that. And then at the end, and I still don't know that we got an answer to this, Andre. Maybe you remember, but I said, you get to the end. It's 3-1. Right. If they get an empty netter at 4-1, I know Q's putting you in. So he's maybe got a minute and a half, where he's got to look at real NHL players coming down. And this ain't 9-year-old, son. Right. This is the real deal.
And did he say to Darling?
Well, I said, would you rather get in at that point or not get in? And I don't know that we got an answer.
I think he said get in.
Yeah.
I think he would have loved to get
in. Yeah.
So. I think that'd be I think the Flyer fans would have went crazy too.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And he said you guys are great to him, and he really appreciated you talking to him and all that. So, as usual, the Hawks handled it very well. So nice job, and we'll see you this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. That's right. Coach Q from your Chicago Blackhawks. What time's the game that we're going to be listening to tonight and Sunday night?
Pre-game is at 7 tonight, and 7:30 puck drop, and then it's a 5:30 pregame on Sunday and a 6 o'clock faceoff.
All right. Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. I don't know if you know this, Andy. It's not just a restaurant. It's a way of life.
I have heard that, yes. Yeah.
One of my favorite guests for the holiday season, the Chicago Game Ants. Chorus or choir? Why do I always forget that?
Chorus.
Chicago Game Ants Chorus is here. These guys are unbelievably good. We'll talk a little bit about what they're doing and where the next gigs are and things. But why don't you do one for us right now, if you don't mind, for the holiday season. And CLTV will join us in just a second.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Hey, 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 hey. Bells are bobbing to ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifting bank, and then we got upset, upset. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Hey. Dashing through the fields of white on this happy Christmas night. Off we go through the snow. Jingle bells, jing jangle. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jing jangle. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jing jangle. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jing jangle. Jing 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 jingle bells. Jing 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 jingle bells. Jing 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 all the way in a one horse open sleigh.
How about that to start, huh? How about that? Chicago Game Ants Chorus, and that's the thing where a conductor could kill one of them. If he took it up one more notch, they were going to start dropping. That was great. Really well done. More coming up back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, you know you make me want to kick my heels up and down.
Yeah.
9:13. More of the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus in a second. By the way, this is not them. But they can hit that note. Yeah. And they may hear in a few minutes. I wanted to talk for a second about this book. You know, Christmas, great time to get books for people, right? The author is Mark Myers, and the book is called Anatomy of a Song. You ever wondered, like, your favorite songs? You ever wondered the backstory of the song?
All the time.
You know, how they put it together, what happened in the studio, what was the inspiration for things. There's so many great stories in here. And Mark joins us now. The book's out and available everywhere. And, Mark, you know what I like to say is, get two, you're careless, you'll lose the first one.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Nice to have you. I love the book.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and obviously some of the dead artists were probably tough to get for interviews, but there's so many iconic songs in here that even if the artist is no longer with us, you had either the writer or the storytellers that you could find to get some really cool answers to questions.
Yeah, you know, in the case, for instance, of Mercedes-Benz, you know, Janis Joplin obviously gone quite some time now, but the people who co-wrote it and everyone else who was involved with the song, I was able to track them down and they were able to piece that story together so people knew what happened leading up to it.
I want to ask you about a couple that are in the book. Roll a clip for me, Jake. Make any better than Otis, ready?
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships rolling.
Steve Cropper, one of the greatest guitarists, was also a co-writer on this. You talked to Booker T. Jones, Wayne Jackson, and Ben Cauley. What strikes you about this song?
You know, Otis wrote the lyrics. He first wrote the song while he was in San Francisco. He comes back down to Memphis. He tells Cropper that he wants to record the song. So once Cropper hears that the lyrics have this line in it about the ships rolling in, Cropper says, I don't even understand what that means. If a ship rolls in, it's going to turn over. Otis says, no, that's what I saw, that's what I saw. So they record the lyric. He puts the lyric down, and he leaves. And 3 days later, Otis Redding dies in a plane crash. And Cropper, you know, patches up and does things and adds instruments. And years later, it's not until years later when he's up in Sausalito having a hamburger that he realizes what Otis meant by the ships rolling in. As he's sitting there eating his hamburger, he's looking out at the bay, and as the ferry crosses from San Francisco to Sausalito, he notices that the ferry turns sideways to create this roll of water that'll slow it down as it comes to the dock, comes to the pier. And suddenly realized that that's what Otis had seen, that the ships rolling in was that ferry turning sideways on its way into San Francisco, on its way into San
Francisco.
That's a
writer's heart, isn't it? That's somebody paying attention to the world.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just heartbreaking when you discover that so many years later after Otis died.
There's also a great story about Dock of the Bay about the whistling that happens at the end.
Yeah, Cropp liked to leave, you know, it's what people call Steve Cropp, or Cropp, that's what the musicians call him. And he liked to, whenever he produced Otis, he liked to leave about 10 measures at the end, because he knew that Otis liked to riff and improvise at the back end, so he left that kind of blank. But this time around, of course, he did it. He didn't add words. Otis delivered that famous whistle at the end.
And that whistle at the end is because, according to Cropp, the ad-libbing genius, Otis had nothing. So he got to the end, he just sort of felt it, and he started whistling. How cool is that?
And probably delivered one of the most iconic whistles on any recording, right?
All right, here's another clip. Roll it.
He's leaving.
Of course, you know I was a pip.
On that midnight train to Georgia.
They used to call me third from the right.
Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back.
To a simpler place and time.
I could listen to Gladys Knight sing Donald Trump's Tax Audit. I mean, I'm telling you right now. That voice is so, so amazing. And Gladys tells a great story, too, about how personal this story was for her because she was kind of going through what she was singing, right?
Yeah, she was going through it. But, you know, that was not the original name of that song. The original name of that song was different. The songwriter, Jim Weatherly, when he was calling up his friend Lee Majors to talk about flag football, the $6 million man Lee Majors,
his girlfriend answers the phone, Farrah Fawcett, and Farrah Fawcett cuts the conversation short. She tells Jim Weatherly, look, he's not home, and I've got to catch a midnight plane to Houston. And Jim Weatherly gets off the phone. He says, that's a great title for a song. So he writes a song, Midnight Plane to Houston. He records it. It goes on an album that his manager then sends out to hopefully generate interest among top songwriters, top singers who would sing it, obviously make him lots of money. And Cissy Houston wants to record it, but she's got a problem with the title. And she calls Jim up, and she says, love the song, hate the title. And Jim says, what's the problem? She says, well, for me personally, my folks don't live in Houston. They live in Georgia. And they don't take planes, they take trains.
How great is that?
It's a midnight train to Georgia, and of course, Gladys Knight covered Cissy Houston's version.
So great. Oh, and we would be remiss if I didn't mention one of my favorites of all time, Chicago's own Mavis Staples. Hit it.
Respect your-
I know I only got a short period of time here, Mark, but Mavis talks about, I've heard this from Mavis in person. She doesn't like space. She doesn't like to leave gaps. She doesn't like things. And Pop Staples would go, fill it, Mavis. Fill it. Go ahead. And she'd just go to town, right?
Yeah. I mean, Mavis was, all soul all the time. And, there's that church experience, but whenever there was a break, they originally were not going to record that song. It was written by Luther Ingram and Mac Rice.
Such a great
and
song.
And Pop Staples did not like that riffing, do-do-do-do-do. It sounded a little too sexual innuendo there. He wasn't comfortable with it.
No, and honestly, it sounded like white people. And let's be honest, that isn't the Staples singers.
But once Mac talked him through it, Pops dug it, and Mavis and the gang recorded it, and it became an enormous hit in 71.
Mark, I love the book, love learning the inspirations behind songs. Talk about the Losing My Religion, R.E.M., which is one of my favorite songs. I had no idea that was what this meant.
It's a funny story, right?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Save it. Yeah, save it, because I know you got to run, but save it, because I want people to get the book.
Okay.
And then you can tell it off the air, because I don't want to lose them.
All right.
Mark Myers, Anatomy of a Song, The Oral History of 45 Iconic Hits. And I'm going to give this to Andrea. What do you want to say with this? If you were here to sign it, I'm writing it now. Cool. Andrea, this is from Mark. What do you want to say to her?
You guys know your stuff and love you madly.
Oh, there you go. Very nice. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you, buddy. Cool. All the best. Again, it's Anatomy of a Song. Mark Myers. I don't have time to write all that.
I was going to say, you seem like you're kind of scribbling it there.
I'm signing it Mark Myers, though, so you can tell your friends. There's your
thank
copy
you
of the
so
book.
Much.
All right, we were going to lose
Mark.
Him, so tell the R.E.M. story.
All right, Losing My Religion, the song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It means basically, you think it's about religion. It's really not. It's kind of just about losing your mind, losing your stuff, if you will. And it's an expression that they use. Where are you?
So it's like when Austin Powers lost his mojo?
Yeah, it's kind of like an expression like, hey, you know what? Oh, I've lost my religion. But it doesn't really have that much to do with religion.
Are you a big R.E.M. fan?
I do like R.E.M., yeah. I liked him in the 80s. Well, the 90s, too.
Staples Singers, come on.
Mavis. Oh,
please.
You love Mavis forever.
Let's just go. It's going to church. You listen to Staples Singers, it's like going to church.
Love it.
Let's do this. Take a break. We'll come back, and the Chicago Gibbons Chorus are here. They're going to sing here live. And then I'm going to write the book about their songs, and then we're going to sell it at 10. It's 9:21, back after this on 720 WGN.
Well, it's a wonderful weather in time of year, time to deck the halls and spread some cheer. Put up a string of lights, what a lovely sight, just a grooving in the middle of the Christmas rock and roll. Well, it's a wonderful
nicely done. Nicely done. Welcome back. Chicago Gay Men's Chorus is here. And identify yourself, boss.
Jimmy Moorhead.
And Jimmy, how long have you been doing this?
I was their accompanist for about 6 years, and I've been their artistic director for about 2.5.
And are you a backbreaker? You a tough guy to work for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Miss a note, miss your spot, miss your cue, and you're out.
No, not really. But.
No, it's crazy. We actually had 40 guys in here. Half of them been thrown out, and they've only sang a song and a half. I assume you guys are crazy busy this time of year?
We are. We are. We
so have... give me a little bit of the schedule. Where can people see it?
We just did our show, Home for the Holidivas, with a guest artist, Cynthia Clary, at the Harris Friday night and at North Shore Center for the Performing Arts last Saturday. Uh-huh. But if you still want to catch us, we'll be at the Beverly Arts Center on Tuesday.
Cool.
This coming Tuesday, the 13th. And then we will be at Navy Pier for a Christmas Carol sing-along for Jingle Jams on Saturday, the 17th.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, keep them busy.
I don't know the answer to this. Can companies hire you guys for corporate stuff?
Yep.
How do they go about doing that? Just hit the website?
Go to our website, cgmc.org, and there's a link on there. I think it's called Book Us.
Yeah, that seems appropriate. Yeah. Before I ask you to do another one, you want to identify the guys here and tell us who's singing with you?
Sure.
I mean, you can go there's first names. I know there's a bunch, but you can go first names.
Jack, Michael, Steven, I'm going to screw up, you know that. Aaron, Peter, Nick, Jonathan, Elliot, Marty, David, Reggie, Sean. That's impressive.
That is very impressive.
120 more of them.
And at this hour, we're very impressive. Who's the youngest is in the newest member?
In this group?
Yeah.
Jack and Elliot.
Yeah, Jack and Elliot.
And Jonathan.
And what's the audition process? They come in and they just say, do they sing their own thing or do you give them something to sing?
They can either bring in a song and sing for me, or I'll just vocalize them to make sure they match pitch and what section is best for them.
I want to help somebody who might be listening who may audition for you in the future. Mm-hmm. What's the one audition song you're the sickest of and you don't want to hear it again?
I never want to hear anything by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Ever.
Please stop.
Okay, maybe Jesus Christ Superstar.
No but Phantom. No,
please
no
stop
Phantom.
Bringing in your cliches. So, what if they come in a cat suit? Does that make a difference?
Don't give them ideas.
Good job, Steve.
All right, so give me a full song here. What do you want to sing?
Great. We're going to sing We Are Lights, which is a wonderfully new Hanukkah song written by Stephen Schwartz.
Very nice. When you're ready, Chicago Gay Men's Chorus on WGN and CLTV.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I think one of the greatest things you get out of coaching is when you come, the boys come back, the victories are gone. Victories are good for a day, a week, a month, and maybe a year, but who cares? How many people can tell you who won the NCAA 2 years ago? And that, but you can tell the players. The players remain, and the coaches will remain up there. Those are the things that are important.
That's the coach, Ray Meyer. Joey's here in studio. It's always good to see you. Yeah, put the headphones on. What is your first day? Come on, man. How are you?
No, my second.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. By the way, I have Christmas stuff on. I just want you to know.
You do look very holidayed up there. Yeah, looking great. How you doing? You good? You feeling good?
I'm good. No problem.
I love hearing your dad's voice.
Yeah,
it's
kind of special. I miss the Gap 2 smile, though. That's what
I miss. Absolutely. I remember that grin. You know, we'd see him at golf outings in the last few years before he passed, and he always had that big smile on his face, and he'd talk to everybody.
Wait. You didn't play for him. No. You didn't coach with him.
That's very true.
That smile left sometime. After a turnover, you didn't want to look at that.
Yeah, very few turnovers in my golf game. Maybe a shank here or there, but that was about it. Sometimes I try to get him to yell at me when I play badly, but, you know, I caught him when he was in a good mood.
I wish he would have saved some of mine for you. Because the other thing is, he used to bite his tongue when he was mad. That was the single that he was mad. He put his tongue to the side.
So you knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming.
Here's what we're talking about. The State Farm Chicago Legends, brand new annual college basketball doubleheader, celebrating a hoops tradition here in the city. DePaul greats Ray Meyer and Mark Aguirre will be recognized during an encore presentation. From a Chicago Legends selection committee who will annually choose who the honorees are. This says next weekend, it'll be on the Big Ten Network. On the 17th at 6 o'clock, you have Northwestern Dayton at 8:30, BYU in Illinois. Tickets are only $40, which is great.
Two good games.
Yeah, it really is. You can get them through Ticketmaster or at the United Center box office. We'll give away two pair now. Here's what we're going to do. Trash can basketball.
Ooh, yeah.
Trash can basketball, the long-awaited match. It's Joey Meyer versus Andrea Darlis. 312-981-7200. First caller gets to pick who's playing for them. 312-981-7200. Andy, would you do the call on this?
I would be more than happy to do the call for this.
No one's going to pick me. They're all going to pick Joey Meyer.
312-981-7200 is the number. Calling now, and it looks like we'll start with Jim. And, I have good news. Jim's picking Andrea.
Oh,
Jim's picking Andrea,
you,
which means Sandy, our
win.
Second caller at 312-981-7200. Sandy has Joey Meyer. All right. Here we go.
All right.
You stand up. Andy, take it over.
Yeah, we have beautiful conditions here in the Allstate Showcase Studio Arena as the waste paper basket has been set just to the left of our grand host, Mr. Steve Cochran.
Can I play D? Ready?
You can play
D.
Yeah,
away?
I'd love you to play for defense.
Really? Oh, only on her shot.
Who will shoot first? I believe, did Andrea win the flip?
Yes,
backstage?
Andrea won the flip. Okay. She did win the flip. Yeah.
Hard to dribble a paper ball and just off the mark. Hit the rim.
Right.
That'll reset the shot clock, but it will not go in.
Me or Joey?
It is now Coach's turn, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think so. We'll go best of three here.
So I'm going to sit down because
Coach,
then I have an
position.
Excuse.
Yeah.
If I miss, it's because I didn't stand up.
I got to say, too, Coach Joey's a little farther away.
He is a little bit further away. He's about 8 feet away. Andrea leaning in about 5.5 feet away.
Why don't we put a backboard up there?
Oh, no. Swish.
Wow.
Very impressive. I got to say, nothing but can.
That was good.
Yeah. All right. Second shot.
Andrea Darlis with her second shot. Just a little bit shy on that one. The wind may have taken that one out of play.
Best of three. Yes. Coach can eliminate her right now.
I think you need to follow through more. Lift your elbow.
Free coaching lessons as well.
All right. This is for the win.
Air ball.
And now for the win. Ooh.
Oh.
Air ball. Air ball.
I didn't tighten up my ball.
That's okay. No rotation.
All right. Now you have to
make
this to continue the game.
Okay. Andrea, the pressure is on. She shoots. And she's got it.
Yeah. Just what producer Sandberg was hoping for, overtime.
Cold-blooded shooting.
All right, Joey, knock one down and you're a winner.
I'm going to stand up and lean in like she did and make it a three-foot shot.
Exactly.
Here we go. Joey
Meyer
for the win.
That's up. Nope. Just a little bit off the mark. That northeast wind at 1 mile
an
hour.
We're going to overtime.
Thanks, man.
We're going to overtime here.
All right, here we go. Overtime, ready?
All right, whenever you're ready.
Andrea Darlis, a picture of concentration. And the shot is in. And Coach Meyer misses.
Coach misses and then goes left-handed. He went left-handed for
alternate
the
alternate hand.
I tell you what.
Good game.
I've got to go to the judges on this one.
Yeah.
And I believe we got a dead heat.
I think so, too. I think Andrea had a little
time. We've got a dead heat.
Yeah, a little bit close to the hoop there.
But, Coach, you went left-handed. It was a swish.
Good sportsmanship shown by both players.
Only one.
Yes.
I'm mad over here.
Joey is doing some trash talking. Let's do this. Both callers get tickets for the first State Farm Chicago Legends event next weekend, December 17th, 6 o'clock Northwestern Dayton, 8:30 BYU, Illinois. Again, tickets, United Center, box office, or Ticketmaster. What do you think your dad would think of the state of basketball in this town? I think we got some momentum, and it's getting better.
You know, he loved the sport, and he enjoyed just Chicago in general. That's what's so special about this award. He loved Chicago, and it was really nice to see Chicago loving him back. And he just loved basketball. He loved the city of Chicago. I always said to him, you ever going to move? I was born here, and I'm going to die here. He just loved Chicago.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Mark Aguirre, you got a favorite Mark Aguirre story or memory?
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, Mark. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. The ones you can talk about?
I always say we were playing down to UAB, and he was missing his free throws, and they called a timeout to ice him.
Sure.
You know, to make him think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Coach looked at him and said, Mark, what's the matter? He says, Coach, my free throw, it's broke.
It's broke.
It's broke. So Coach gave him the best bit of advice I've ever heard. He looked right in the eyes, true story, he said, well, fix it. And you know what he did? He went out and hit two free throws.
I bet he did. Yeah, I bet he did. That's great. Well, it's great to see you. You and Andy working together soon, I hear?
Yes, we have the Penn State game on the 27th, just ahead of the Wildcats bowl game. They'll be in the Pinstripe Bowl on the 28th, so Dave will handle that with Ted, and I'll take the basketball game with Coach Meyer.
Well, you be careful around Andy during a game. He's all hands. And, you know, so, have you guys worked together before?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. And I've got through working with Dave, so Andy would be a breeze.
Sorry, Dave's Dave. Drinking. Andy's been doing the call. It's going
to
be fun.
Don't you remember when Joey turned to Andy and said, fix it?
Yeah. His broadcast is
my
broke.
Free throws
fix it.
Broke. How great is that? Coach, great seeing you all the time.
Thanks for having me.
All the best.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We're back with the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus. Going to sing a couple more for us before we're done. And Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. Back with the Steve Cochran Show. We have tickets for Jay Leno. And we'll just do a random poll from all the texters who are coming up with Christmas gift ideas for you guys this morning. Because they were too good to just pick one. So, again, it is Wednesday, April 19th, but tickets on sale at 10 this morning from Ticketmaster.com. Chicago Gay Men's Chorus is here, and what are you guys going to do next?
We're going to do a nice Dolly Parton tune, Smoky Mountain Christmas.
Beautiful. Whenever you're ready, on CLTV and here at 720 WGN.
I'm dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas, with the kids around the fireplace drinking popcorn for the tree. I'm dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas, with nothing much that money buys, but everything worthwhile in life. Dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas.
You can take the girl from the country, I have heard him say,
but you never take the country from the girl.
And me, I've been a rambler for the better part of life.
No matter where I ramble in this world, I keep dreaming of a cabin in my Smoky Mountain home. Remembering my life there as a child, just as free as the butterflies, the hummingbirds and bees, as different as the snowflakes on the windows of my life. And I'm dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas, with the kids around the fireplace making angels for the tree. I'm dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas, with nothing much that money buys, but everything worthwhile in life. Dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas. Yes, I'm dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas, with the kids around the fireplace drinking popcorn for the tree. I'm dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas, with nothing much that money buys, but everything worthwhile in life. Dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas. Dreaming of a Smoky Mountain Christmas.
Yeah. How great is that? Tremendous. And I'd like to thank Dolly. I'm trying to decide which one of you guys was Dolly. Raise your hand if you're Dolly. Very nice. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're no more than an A cup. But you pulled it off nicely. I got to tell you that right now. Well done. If people want to stay in touch with you guys all year long and find out where you're playing next, what's the website again?
CGMC.org.
All right. Very nice. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all you guys. But before you go, can you give us one more?
Yeah. We have a little random Liza Minnelli tune called Ding-a-ling, I Feel So Christmassy.
By the way, that doesn't mean you can do Liza when you come into audition. All right, whenever you're ready.
It's happened before. It's okay.
Ding-a-ling, 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 ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling, 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 I feel so Christmassy. I feel so, so mistletoe. Just don't know where this will go. Ding-a-ling, 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 ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, when I close my eyes, I can really try. I can almost see snowflakes fly. Ding-a-ling, 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 ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling,
ding-a-ling. I shall taste as fragrant as a flower.
Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. I feel so Christmassy.
Sweet and sour.
I feel so. Has
a very lucky feast.
Just don't know.
You're my little dancing beast.
Ding-a-ling,
ding-a-ling. It's so wonder that I am a miser.
Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. When it comes to my eyes, I can really try. I can almost see.
Or parsley, I'm a miser. Charge it to my diner's club.
Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling, 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 alive. Oh, Granny, one more time. Bless you. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling, 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 alive.